have seen the pattern that there are four things that separate visionaries, not humans, not business owners, and there are only four. So one, I think you're either born top visionary on the planet or not. I think most people would choose this life, but they use those four things as excuses, not the motivator.
Oof.
Like, yeah. For top visionaries, right mindset attracts right network, which creates right opportunities. Visionaries do not want to hang out with people that limit themselves. I just keep making bigger investments to be in smaller rooms. So bigger investment, smaller room, bigger impact allows biggest investment in smallest room, family, where I can make most impact.
Tribe listeners, I have an extremely exciting announcement for all of you. Do you want to come hang out with Cody Sanchez, David Osborne, David Green, Rich Roll, and even yours truly down in Austin, Texas? Well, let's do it. May 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, for the first time ever, GoBundance, the exclusive millionaire membership group, is opening up an event to anyone, man, woman, millionaire or not, and we're calling it the Austin Entrepreneurial Summit. At the AES, you'll meet all those people I mentioned, plus GoBundance members on both the men's and women's side, and I'll be there hanging out the entire time. Every event I've ever attended for GoBundance has given me a disproportionate return on the money spent and the time spent to get there. And this is the biggest one that GoBundance has ever done. So if you're a member, not a member, and you're looking to supercharge the second part of your year 2024, this event in May is a great way to get that all kickstarted. Go to GoBundance.com/AES right now for early bird pricing for members and guests. And warning, the power of GoBundance events is that it holds you accountable long after you're gone to achieving whatever goals you've set. So this event will change your life. GoBundance.com/AES. I'll see you there. Let's get back to the show. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the show. Today's guest, Justin Breen, is the founder of Brepik Network. He has over 20 years in media, has won dozens of awards for editing and writing, and is the author of multiple books, most recently Epic Life, How to Build Collaborative Global Companies While Putting Your Loved Ones First. I had a little hiccup there in my reading. He's been featured in Forbes, the Chicago Tribune, and his 52 date night New Year's resolution was the talk of the Today Show at one point. Justin, man, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Going old school with that. I love it.
That was 2019? Well, you did it 2018. Over 2018?
Yeah, 2018. Yeah.
How did it turn out?
I mean, so my wife and I, our first date was the day before she started medical school. So you don't really ever date a doctor. And then we had children. So 2018 was the first time we really dated. We met in 2004. So we knew each other for 14 years, even got married and had children before started dating. We kind of reverse engineered it, but, now we still go out on dates all the time now. So it's, I think that was a good start to doing that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You've talked about four different circumstances that entrepreneurs face. And you said, I think you said you haven't met an entrepreneur who's not overcome at least one, if not all four, likely three. Yeah. Can we start there? Can you dive into what are these circumstances? And let's just kind of take the conversation through that.
Sure. Sure. Good preparation. I appreciate that. So just as background to the background, most of my day is either with my family, my wife, who is a pediatrician and then COO of Second Company, which is Brepik Network. And then our two sons who are 11 and 9, they are both 9 quick start visionary maniacs, pure visionaries, unemployable. So it's either spending time with them or talking to and connecting with the world's top visionaries. So not humans, not business owners, not consultants, just pure visionaries changing the world. Most of them, not all, but most of them have ADD. It's not a disorder. It's a sign of genius mislabeled by humans. And most of them just ramble nonstop. And then my brain hears blah, 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 and then simplifies it into a pattern. So everything my brain does with what visionaries say, it turns it into a pattern. So that's the background to that. So I've been an entrepreneur for 6.5 years with zero business background, zero. Like, I still don't know what an S-corp is. I don't care about that stuff. I didn't know you had to pay taxes 4 times a year. I didn't know that. I don't really think about it or care about it, but, have seen the pattern that there are four things that separate visionaries, not humans, not business owners, visionaries from the others. And there are only four. So one, bankruptcy or potential bankruptcy. Two, depression. 3, highest level of anxiety that you can imagine, and 4, likely and or possible traumatic experiences as a child or young adult. So for humans, business owners, consultants, those are excuses. For a visionary, that's the fuel. So pre-COVID, when I only had one company, I was still talking to some small business owners or employees or consultants. And at the time, out of those 4 things, it was 1 and 2, maybe 3 out of the 4. Sometimes it was 0 out of the 4. And now, since COVID, when it's really just only visionaries, it's almost always at least 3 out of the 4 things. There's been a handful of folks, less than 3 of those 4 things in the last couple of years since COVID. And then the really, if you want to call it successful ones, the really successful ones are usually all 4. And to land the plane, I'm 3 of those 4. The only thing I haven't had to worry about is bankruptcy or potential bankruptcy. But the successful ones, the really, really successful ones, almost always all 4.
Anxiety and depression, and even like even the traumatic, let's start with the traumatic experience. Let's start there.
Sure.
Can you put some rigor around that? Is traumatic experience perceived? Or is traumatic experience defined by certain types of events?
Well, with the high fact finder sort of input. Okay, so you like input and strategy and learning, and that's fine. That's fine. I don't do too deep of a dive on that, but I will because you asked. It can be. So my father died when I was 13. My youngest brother died of a drug overdose when he was 29. So that can be certainly considered trauma. Again, most of my day is talking to ADD folks, and I can't tell you how many of them were put in special education classrooms, given a hall pass just to leave the school, ostracized, because ADD is not a disorder. It's a sign of genius, but humans like order, so they label something a disorder when they don't understand it. So I would consider that trauma. Visionaries are usually aliens within their own family, community, and verticals. So the only people that understand us are top visionaries on planet. So most of these folks go a good part of their lives talking to people mostly that don't understand them. And they many times don't find anyone that actually understands them. I would consider that trauma. So I don't know if that answers your question directly. But what a visionary, what I see is what a true visionary is, the most damaged person, the most of those 4 things, at least 3, many times all 4. And then they have the best coping skills. So they have the highest IQ, the highest EQ, the most hustle, the most courage, the most guts, because they don't make excuses. Humans, business owners, yeah. Consultants, they make excuses. Visionary, figure it out. Like, oh, hey, you quit a $400,000 job. You got about a year of runway. Figure it out. Okay. Business owners don't do that. They don't do that.
Did you read my bio?
Well, I'm guessing you read mine in some capacity, but I like to know. Well, so
you just said it. I quit.
Well, right. So that's yeah. I mean, so I like to relate to people in some capacity, but like no. So most people wouldn't do what you did, but that's what a visionary does.
No, it's funny. Like I love that. And there's so many, man, you gave me like 8 different questions that are going to pop up, but on landing this plane, as you've said about traumatic experience, anxiety, depression, I feel like all 3 of those I've experienced. I haven't had the bankruptcy.
Right.
I don't think I've been like when I think of close to bankruptcy, it's like the threat of it. I've had my financial hard times, but nothing like, oh my God, it's all going down.
So that would make sense.
3 of the 4. Yep, right. Exactly. But that traumatic experience, that big T, little T, like what is trauma? That one always, like you said, that's the one I deep dive always. Like, do you mean, you know, beaten, physically abused, domestic violence, that sort of thing? Or is it like, well, like you said, somebody died. Right. But somebody dying, that's trauma. Or a way you were treated in a certain way, public embarrassment, all of that is trauma, right? In some way, shape, or form. Bullying was mine. I was bullied. So that was that's probably where that's I come
logical. From. That would make sense.
Why do you say humans versus visionaries?
Well, because people like us are usually aliens within our own family, community, verticals. So humans don't really, usually, not always, but usually people like us marry stabilizing humans, like a teacher, nurse, social worker, my wife's a pediatrician, a lawyer who's a lawyer, an engineer, an accountant. Because if the whole world was like us, it'd be anarchy, chaos. But no, I mean... Like I've never understood human linear thinking, playing not to lose. I don't understand that. It's confusing to me. It's confusing to me when anyone makes an excuse or asks, "What do you cost or charge?" I don't understand that. and then just created something connecting visionaries to serve humanity. So I want to help humans. I just don't think about what they're thinking. I just connect visionaries, people like us, to help everyone else.
You're a visionary, correct?
Oh yeah. Oh, absolutely.
So the interesting thing with you is I think I don't know if it's strength finders, but like your gift is to activate, maximize, and achieve, right? Like those are three words that you describe.
Yeah.
So that feels like, so in the world of like Geno Wickman, traction, mm-hmm. this whole like yep. visionary integrator.
We know it's competition thing, like, number one, strength finders.
There you go. So, but that sounds like integrator work language. That doesn't sound like visionary language. Help me piece what I love about listening to you and what you do is like, you don't have these like you're allowed to be.
I don't have ADD. I don't have ADD. So 90%
right.
of the
so you
okay. All right. Let me slow it down and then I'll answer your question because I'm an educator and I just want to answer the damn questions because you're
hit
a deep
me, hit thinker. Me.
Okay. Right. So okay. So most of my days talking to ADD. They're all over the place. They ramble. Not a disorder. And then I hear blah blah blah. Simplify, connect, simplify, connect, simplify, connect, simplify, connect, simplify, connect, simplify, connect. And I guess you would describe me as an integrating visionary, which is very rare. I asked you about Kolbe, K-O-L-B-E. I'm guessing after this, you'll take it because now you've got enough details to do the thing. But so I don't care what someone does. I don't care where they live. I don't care how many people, I don't care about any of that stuff. That's business owner stuff. But I do care is if they take action because talk is meaningless without doing something. So in Kolbe, KOLBE.com, A index, it's not your personality. I don't care what your personality is. It's how your brain takes action. How your brain takes action. And the overwhelming majority of visionaries, there are some exceptions, including me and Gino, by the way, are high quick start and little to no follow through. So they're all over the place. If they don't hire humans to help them, total disaster. Gino and I are actually the very, 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 very rare visionary who has high quick start and high follow through. So Gino's an 8 quick start, 6 follow through. I'm a 7 quick start, 6 follow through. Most of the people I talk to are 8, 9, or 10 quick starts. 10 is the highest, and they have 1, 2, or 3 follow through. 1 is the lowest. So if they don't hire a bunch of people to help them or an actual integrator, a total disaster. And then my wife, who is COO of Second Company, she's an 8-7-4-2. So she's a 4 quick start, which is pretty low, but her follow through's off the charts, a 7. And then my partner for Second Company is a 1-5-9-6, pure visionary, pure maniac. That's a compliment. He's a 9 quick start, with a 5 follow through. So he's a pure unicorn. But I see the world in numbers and keywords. And when you can match and collaborate with the right numbers and keywords, then all this other stuff I found takes care of itself.
Do you use this intentionally for, say, a business partnership?
For everything. Yeah, I don't. So thank you for asking that way. Whenever I hear the word business, I either literally or in my head, I cross it off and I change it to life. Immediately, because business partnership is for business owners. I don't think like that. I never have. I don't care about that stuff. To me, everything is about life partnership. So business owners think of 10x things in a revenue, office space, employee count, making some list. All that stuff's fine, by the way. The only two 10x's I care about are only two. One, experiences in life with my family, and two, network on a global level. And doing something like this is an example of that. So the only two questions I ask myself every day that matter are one, did I have a good experience that day with my family? Check, check, yes, yes, check, check. And then two, did network grow on a global level? And every day the answer to that is yes. And I found all this business owner stuff takes care of itself. But yeah, everything to me is a life partnership. And then for me, business is an extension of the purpose of my life, which is connecting visionaries to serve humanity. And then just created two companies that's
interesting. The connector piece, you say you're high follow through based on Kolbe. Are you high follow through tactically or are you high follow through relationally?
Well, you're a high fact finder because a low fact finder never would have asked or even thought about that question and then he wouldn't have cared, which is kind of funny. So you're probably a similar Kolbe to me where you have high fact finder, decently high quick start, and then relatively high follow through. Can you build anything with your hands? Anything? Can you build anything?
Paper airplane?
Oh, well, that's more than I can do. So I can barely, for those who can see, I can barely hold a pencil right. Well, I can't hold a pencil right. I don't know how to do it. So the first three numbers, I'm an 8671 Colby. That's a pure unicorn score. So I have high fact finder, high follow through, and high quick start. So I guess to answer your, I'm not a strategic thing, but I'll do it for to answer. But like, my brain is wired to follow through. And then being a, before this, I was a journalist for 20 years. So if you don't have follow through in journalism, you miss a deadline or you don't get that quote, then that's a problem. So it's learned as well. But in strength finders, activate, maximize, achieve, competition, responsibility. So I feel responsible. Feel responsible for getting it done. And then my Enneagram, unconscious motivators is an 8, which means to be strong and self-reliant. Self-reliant, that means you follow through, you get the job done. And then my Colby 8671 literally means I've got this. That's what it means. But I knew that for second company, there's no way I could build a SaaS platform myself. I'd blow myself up or electrocute myself. Mm-hmm. So I've got this turned to we've got this. And then that's been very exciting to watch that happen.
Does the connector energy you have require the visionary energy you have?
Tremendous question. Never thought, and this is why I like doing these shows, because I learn in real time. The purpose of my life is connecting visionaries to serve humanity. And that's all I ever think about besides hang out with my family. So if that means it means that's part of my visionary brain, so be it. I've talked to Gino Wickman about this in great detail, actually. I don't know if you have seen the documentary Hero Dreams of Sushi. So Hero, I don't know if he's still alive, but he had a three-star or has a three-star Michelin restaurant in a Japanese Tokyo subway station. So all he wants to do, if he's still alive, if he's not alive, then all he wanted to do, or all he wants to do, was make sushi. Better ingredients, higher priced ingredients, better quality, better preparation, learn. And so that's all I want to do is connect people, connect visionaries to serve humanity and spend time with my family. And then Gino is very, he's just like Hero too. He's like a mad scientist, with high follow through. And so he and I are very like EOS. I thought from like he solved his own family's and company's problem with EOS. So he created EOS. I talk to 1 to 2 visionaries every single week that have let entrepreneur life destroy their family life or prevented them from having a family. So wrote Epic Life book, which is how to build collaborative global companies while putting your loved ones first. And then Dr. Peter Diamandis wrote the Ford. I'm very, very grateful for that. So Gino and I are very similar that we're both, we just want to make sushi, better and better sushi. It's just different. He comes up with new companies, which is really interesting. I guess I do too. I would say he's a bigger visionary than I am. And then he understands the long game better than I do because he's been doing this longer. But he talked about the all four things in a video. I can try and find that link, but he talked about the all four things and he's like, oh yeah. And I'm all four. So that was shared on social media, which I thought was pretty interesting.
It's funny you say that he was on the show and without mentioning all four, he talked deeply about all four.
Yeah.
Trauma, anxiety, depression, and bankruptcy. He talked about all four. So almost exclusively.
Well, and so again, to land the plane twice, landing the plane.
We're landing planes everywhere.
From a conversation. So the background with that, because you like details, I wrote an article for Inc. magazine in like 2020 or 2021 with those four things, because everything's a pattern. And then I was talking about it and he's like, oh God, send me that. And then he started talking about it. And then whenever his next book comes out, those four things will, and that article will be in the book, his next company. So, but that makes sense. Cause when you see the patterns and if you connect the pattern to the answer or the other visionary, then that's where you see massive growth. And then more importantly, you see the patterns, which is great. But when you develop your own patterns, that's when it's really exciting too. So I like to learn the patterns, see them, but then more importantly, create my own with them.
I love it. Before we get into the book and the lessons of, like, I love what you said about entrepreneurs destroying their lives, with entrepreneurship.
Not funny, but it's true.
Can you talk about, or at least, so I think of another guest, Benjamin Hardy, who's been on this show.
He's an 8 quick start, 3 follow through. Yeah.
Right. But he would say that all of these things, while they give you a sense into like how you are, they're often misused and limit you or bucket you into something like I am a 8'6", whatever. Like I'm only this, and you don't allow yourself to expand beyond it. Can you challenge that?
Yep. So I had this. Well, it's not a challenge. It's just a different way of thinking. I always think about Ben. So Ben interviewed me for a Gap in the Gain, which for those who 10X is better than 2X or whatever, that's great. Who Not How is great. But for a visionary, Gap in the Gain by far to me is the most important, because that's really what entrepreneur life is. So I'm very thankful to be in that. That was a great. And then I talked to him about that during the interview, because I think about him sitting on the – I don't know if he talked about this in your interview, but I think about him sitting on his couch when he was a teen and his parents were struggling and he was just playing video games and going nowhere. And then he decided to go on a mission, LDS mission, I believe, and that changed his life. But he's got to be an all four. I would think he's an all four. But here's where I guess, challenge this, or at least provide my own opinion. I was in an entrepreneur group the other day where a 9 quick start who was going through a horrible divorce also said something similar to what you just said regarding Ben. And he was saying, well, there's studies that show that you create an upper limit. You actually create a ceiling for yourself by talking like that or saying the word. Okay, that's – and so this was my response to the 9 quick start in the entrepreneur meeting. This will be my response here, is that to me, there are no limits when you put your family first and grow your network. In fact, I know there are no limits because I'm living proof of that. And again, all I want to do is spend time with my family and connect visionaries to serve humanity. And there is a limitless number of visionaries. You just have to find them. And then when you find them, 2 becomes 4, 4 becomes, you know, 8 becomes 100. And I would venture to say maybe our firms partner with maybe 1 out of 1,000. Most people think that's a small number, but they're not visionary and they don't live in abundance and they have their own limits. So if there's 8 billion, if there are 8 billion people, 1 out of 1,000 is 8 million. So to me, 8 million is a no limit thing. So that's one. And then 2, I name my years. It's a great practice. I strongly recommend folks do that. It's from a great friend, Joel Martin, visionary. That was his idea. So
like I mean, year like, of kind of thing, year of whatever.
Is that what you're Okay. Yes. Because you really want the nuts and bolts. Okay. So I will do that. So 2020 was global growth. So every day, global growth. Started having conversations with entrepreneurs around the world, joined 2 global organizations, entrepreneur groups. So that's what happened. 2021 was no limits. Every day, no limits. So when you have no limits, there are no limits, even if someone challenges that. And then 2022 was Epic Life. That became the name of the second book. 2023, this year at the time of our recording, networks, 2 words, networks. And oh wow, Brepik Network is it works great. We're about to be named one of top 5 masterminds on the planet. I'm very, very grateful for that. My wife is transitioning out of pediatrics to as she's become COO of the company. She's an onboarding machine with harmony and relationship, which is really interesting. And she's high IQ. And then I just found out, I'm very grateful, going to be ringing the NASDAQ bell with the Brepik Network shirt on. That'll be fun. But again, no limits. And then 2024, it will be called Century, because I know you're going to ask that, but Century Club. And I used to think it would mean getting Brepik Network to 100 members, which that'll easily be done by the end of 2024. But I did a deep dive on it through Strategic Coach. One of the exercises is like a lifetime extender, like planning how long you want to live. And mine is till 123, and living to 123 gets me through the end of this century. And so that's what Brepik Network is. It's a century club that it's just a club of people I want to hang out with for the rest of my life. So that's what I've learned.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible. Yeah. All right. I'm going to dig because
I
set myself up.
You like to dig.
My brand is
love
to dig.
Dig. Hey, that works with insurance and executive insurance jobs. So keep digging.
I left that though. I was out of that. Screw that job.
You're still digging. I can hear it. I can hear it in the brain.
It is churning. How do you come up with these names? Can you give is there a decision tree? Is it gut feeling? Like, how do you come up with these themes for the year?
Okay. So, Gallup Clifton Strength Finders. I am 32 out of 34 in ideation. 32 out of almost everyone I talk to is top five in ideation and or futuristic. I'm very low in both of those, but again, activator, maximizer, achiever, competition, responsibility. Those are top five. And by the way, sixth of this is self-assurance. So there's no imposter syndrome. A lot of visionaries are very low in self-assurance and they have imposter. Well, so you know the answer. Here's the answer. Right. Okay. So I'm the opposite of that. I'm very confident, not arrogant. I'm useless to society at almost everything, but at this, I'm really good at it. So I'm confident in that. Okay. So, that's not arrogant. Arrogant people think they're great at everything. I'm useless at almost everything. Okay. So, I start thinking about the next year about 3 to 4 months ahead of time. And then because I'm so low in ideation, like almost no good ideas. If I do have a great one, then I know immediately. So it'll just pop into my head. Usually after a run, I run 3 to 5 miles every day, except Sundays. I've done that for 20 years. Outside, we live in Chicago, so the weather's usually horrible here. And usually during or at the end of those runs, it'll pop into my head. But I definitely give myself 3 to 4 months ahead of time. And by the way, saying it every single day, like networks every day of 2023, that's just what happens. I mean, it's just that consistency. You asked about follow through earlier. It's just that consistency and that rhythm and that pattern becomes a great ritual. And then you almost create your own rhythm with your own action and follow through. It's super interesting to see that in real time.
Fascinating. I want to talk about the connecting stuff because like networks, all of this.
Yeah.
You mentioned Gino Wickman. We mentioned Benjamin Hardy. Not saying his word, but Dan Sullivan's in there. Peter Diamantis.
And quick start. Peter's an eight. Yeah.
There you go. But he's wrote the forward for your second book. Your last book, there was somebody else who wrote the forward. Forgive me.
Chris is a nine quick start. Never split the difference.
Oh, Chris Voss. That's right. Yes. I was going to say, if somebody else prominent, he's coming on next month.
That's logical. That makes sense.
All these people are swirling around. Right. Talk to me about your ability to create these networks.
Well, an ability, I'm going to look that word up because when someone says, someone like you says an actual word that interests me, I like to know where the word comes from. And then I'll answer it. Yeah, right. Of course you are. Cause we're the same. So ability,
that's a control freak issue.
Yeah, it's called OCD. So ability, possession of the means or skill to do something, talent, skill, or proficiency in a particular area. Okay. Okay. So I'll answer it in that way. Cause that's what the word actually means. So again, everything is a pattern, right? Everything. And I think you're either born top visionary on the planet or not. I think most people would choose this life, but they use those four things as excuses, not the motivator.
Oof, like, wow. Yeah.
But I'm dead last in empathy on strength finders. For top visionaries, I have endless empathy, but anyone who makes an excuse or ask what do you cost or charge, like I don't understand that and I just don't talk to them because they're not a visionary. They're their own limiter. But my favorite pattern, it's very simple, but right mindset attracts right network, which creates right opportunities. So I think you're either born a visionary or you're not, but if you are, you can work on your mindset every single day. Or however you look at time. And then we only partner with visionaries who live in abundance, who look at things as investments, not costs. So a visionary might think they live in abundance, and then this is where the fake visionary gets stopped, but the fake visionary still looks at things as costs, or what do you charge, or I don't have the money to do that. A true visionary would never do that. They would just write the check. And then visionaries do not want to hang out with people that limit themselves. So that's the pattern that I've seen. I've also found that directness eliminates nonsense and attracts greatness. So, and you can certainly ask my wife this. Most people, I can very confidently say, don't understand and or like me because I'm very direct. But top visionaries on the planet absolutely love it. Because they've felt like this, they just might not necessarily have been able to say it because they have lots of employees around them, or they're trying to be kinder, or they're higher in empathy than I am. And I'm not afraid to say it. Okay, so those are the patterns that I see. And then the other one that directly answers your question is, I just keep making bigger investments to be in smaller rooms, but the people in those rooms are making bigger impact. That allows me to spend biggest investment in smallest room, which is my family, where I can make the most impact. So bigger investment, smaller room, bigger impact allows biggest investment in smallest room, family, where I can make most impact. And then the interesting thing is, again, you create your own pattern with that. So created own smaller room, bigger investment, biggest impact, connecting visionaries to serve humanity. There's not a bigger impact than that. And then you just keep raising the investment because it eliminates people that make excuses. And then my wife gets annoyed with humans and the humans complaining about their human children as a pediatrician. And she is transitioning out of that as she's as the COO of the company. So creating the small room actually allowed my wife to join that room. And she's just an incredible COO integrator. The reason why the company's been successful is, you know, it's not because of me and my partner, although we've done a great job. It's my wife. She's the glue. She's the harmony.
What's cool about you too is you are absolutely of your word. I was in Chicago and I messaged you saying, "Hey, man, great, awesome. I'm going to be in Chicago. How about we do a live episode?" And you were like, no, maybe you didn't hear me. I spend time with my family. I'm not driving across Chicago to meet you in a podcast studio. You didn't say it like, you know, you weren't being a dick. It wasn't like that. But my point is, like, you said, "No, man, listen, I appreciate it, but I like spending time with my family. So let's just do virtual. Virtual is better for you, right?"
Well, I mean, I think it's better for most people now. Thank you for saying that. I certainly wasn't trying to be offensive, but I really just wanted to spend time with my family. And then, like, some people don't understand that because they don't.
I respect it.
Well, right. People like you do because you left your job so you could spend time with your family in Caribbean or wherever you are. But, like, and you had little kids. Okay. But, you know, life to me is like logic and taking big risks. So, and there's a great mix of that. But anyone who would put entrepreneur life in front of their family life is illogical. It's illogical to me. Like, why would you do that? And yet I constantly talk to people like us that do. I mean, that's literally why I wrote Epic Life, How to Build Collaborative Global Companies While Putting Your Loved Ones First. And by the way, that was written before my wife decided to phase out of pediatrics. So, like, she's the biggest reason of how to build collaborative global companies while putting your loved ones first. So putting loved ones first allowed my wife to join the company to build collaborative. Like, it's really interesting. Activated your own rhythm, activated your own mission in life. It's super interesting.
Can you put entrepreneur life second always, or are there seasons within the journey
where it's like? Well, I'll give you so our sons are 9 and 11. There's work-life balance. I don't even understand that. It's confusing to me. It's just life. So, our sons are both 9 quick start, 2 follow throughs. So, for those who know Colby, they're not employable. They'll never have, if they ever have a job, I'll be. And okay. So then the 9-year-old, when he already wants to take over both of the companies I helped start. He's a bigger visionary than I am. Both of them are. And when the 9-year-old was 8, his name is Chase, he and I went out for a pizza dinner. And we were talking about IQ and bending time. IQ and bending time. So Chase, he said the best thing I've ever heard anyone say. And all I do is talk to, you know, really smart, really good people. And then so when he was 8, earlier in 2023, So Chase considers life one long, great day. So yesterday's before you were born, and then tomorrow's after you die. And then he's like, there are only two ways to have a great day. Only two. He's a simplifier like I am, pattern recognizer. So he's like, one, create more living things. The fundamental purpose of any living thing is to create more living things. So that could be a child. It could be planting a tree. It could be creating a company. It could be creating a foundation that's alive. A network. I don't know. And then I don't think there's an argument against that. If there is, there would be no life. But if anyone wants to argue that, that's fine. And then two, he said, do what you like to do and what you're good at and keep getting better at it. So I'm like, well, that's
an 8-year-old.
Well, he's 9 now, but yeah, but that's what we talk about. So that's what I mean. So like we talk about sports and girls and whatever that, you know, but that's what I mean. It's just a collaborative conversation.
And the greatest, did they take the Strength Finders or the Colby?
Oh, man, are you a deep dive input? Okay. All right. So man, this is hilarious. Okay. All right. So, I'll answer it. So I don't follow rules. I don't believe in rules. My wife does. That would be good as a doctor, but,
same.
Yeah. Well, an insurance brokerage or whatever you did before this, it's good to have rules, I guess, but like the, so you're supposed to take Colby for kids, which is Dynamind, Dynamynd. You're supposed to take it in fourth grade. I don't follow rules or believe in them for the most part. So our kids first took it in first and second grade. And then they retook it in, what are they in now? They're, when they were in third and fourth grade, now they're in fourth and fifth, and their scores barely changed. And they were 9 quick starts both times and 2 follow throughs both times.
Why are they in public school?
Great question. Okay. I'm going to give you a deep dive answer to that one. And there's a multiple response to that. So one, their public school is not really a public, it is a public school, but it's really small. It's almost like a private feel to it. And they have a ton of friends. They're learning basic things like how to read and math and stuff, which is great. They have my wife's kindness, empathy, and relator ability, which is beautiful. Like they're among the most popular kids in their grades, which it's, you can understand too, I'm guessing. Like it's, mm-hmm. Cause I was definitely not that. And then my wife says 3 words to me before parent teacher conferences. You want to guess what they are? I guess.
Oh God. Just shut up.
Close. Don't say anything. So then the teacher, I'll just sit there and smile and nod. And the teacher will be like, oh, your kid is doing math a different way than everyone else. Or, oh, he's raising his hand, or he's impulsive, or he's, you know, moving around a lot. And I smile and nod. And then they're like, do you have any questions? So it's a really good, you talk about balance. It's a, they can learn school stuff, human stuff. It's good to, we are humans, so it's good to learn that stuff. And they're really good athletes. They're with all their friends. And now my wife certainly too, but before it was mostly me, teach them about bending time and IQ and Colby scores and people who make excuses and then those who don't. And like I said, they're bigger visionaries than I am. Since birth, they've been like that. And then the greatest joy by far, there's not even a close second, but the greatest joy of this life is that my kids get to see this life even exist, because most people don't. They'll never even be exposed to this. And then this 1A or number 2 is that my wife has seen enough of this where she wants to be fully involved in it. I mean, I never thought that would happen. Never.
It's cool.
Yeah.
It's very cool.
Beautiful blessing.
Let's talk about the family first approach. I'm an entrepreneur. I'm sitting here going like, yeah, I would love to. I'm in it.
Nope.
I'm in build mode.
Nope.
What do you say?
Nope. No excuses. So my father was 61 when I was born. 61. Wow. He was a World War II hero, shot down multiple times in combat, many times without a parachute, got back in no plane. So you either can do that or not. Anyone who makes an excuse, I don't, just don't even listen to it. Nope.
Interesting. How do you guide them over to Family First?
Well, that's why I wrote the book. I don't. So I do ask their IQ. Again, see the world in numbers. Have you ever done your IQ?
I don't think I have. I'm going to guess it's low, but no, I don't think I have.
Smart ones out. No, yours is like mine. You're a bridge. Because you want a deep dive, I'll do it. But 140 and above is genius. Okay. That's less than 1% of the population.
I got to take a bunch of tests after this now.
But you probably that. You probably want to do it.
I do.
Well, Colby's the number one. I would guess you're very similar to my wife and me. She and I are both 139. So 140. So that we're about the 1% range or the 99%. And so we're bridges between genius and human. When you get over 160, those people almost never have families. They're like cyborgs. So the ones that are in build, I mean, what I do ask folks like that, I do ask what their IQ is. And then if someone leads with three or more, what I call like transactional things like, oh, hey, my revenue hit this, or we just added our what office or number employee, or we made this list of fastest growing, whatever. So if it's three or more, I always ask the follow. I'll just sit there and listen. But then the follow-up question is, so how's your family? And then 95%+ of the time it's, I'm going through a divorce, or I never had children, or I don't see my children. So I guess to answer your question, it's making them aware of that. But if the IQ is so high, it's a very difficult life.
That's really interesting. Yeah. So over 140 or over 160, are you kind of like,
here, I'll send it in the chat. I simplified. Now, I'm not a scientist. I just see the pattern and here's the answer. But so I simplified IQ.
I love the level of IQ it takes to simplify IQ.
Well, my 139 was the simple. It's the bridge. I mean, that makes sense.
I love that.
I would guess you're between 138 and 142. That would be genius. Oh yeah, you wouldn't be able to do what you're doing. It'd be impossible. You wouldn't be able to do it because entrepreneurs are the most damaged people with the best coping skills. They have the highest IQ.
But you realize if I'm a 140 plus and that's technically genius level, everyone will hear that. 100% of the people I know and don't know will hear that I'm a genius. That's
who
all I'm
cares?
About.
Yeah, but you have imposter syndrome and I don't.
So. That's good. Wow, that's a great wraparound. That's a great point.
Of course. Yeah. Imposter syndrome. But I just put the link in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, the fact that you even care what other people think is, well, I don't understand it, but two,
that
like
blows my mind that you don't. But yes, you're right. You're spot on. I get that.
Why would I care what someone who I care about my family and connecting visionaries to serve humanity? Why would I let someone who doesn't understand me get in the way? I mean, that was most of my life because they didn't understand. So what's the point?
I'm reading this. So I'm going to read this. I see the world in numbers, have talked to many top visionaries over the past several years and asked their IQ. I am 139. This is you. 140 and above is considered genius and is less than 1% of population. Most people I talk to are 140 and above. Here's a pattern I see. High 120, low 130s. Solid business minds with appreciation for family or loved ones.
Yep.
Okay.
I bet mid-130s, you see a lot of people like that in your group. I would guess you see a lot of people.
100%. 100%. Solid business with appreciation for, yes,
I see
100%.
Very few people like that. Very few.
Mid-high 130s to low 140s, bridges between geniuses and humans, can connect both sides, tougher to understand humans unless married to one or surrounded by those you can learn from.
So you're married to one and you're surrounded by them. So yeah, I would guess so you're probably 140, 139, 138.
Oh, I hope so. Otherwise, I'm going to be disappointed at myself. Mid-140s to high 150s. Many won't even admit their IQ because they don't want to seem like bragging. These geniuses are true visionaries and futurists. They're great at building systems.
Those are the funnel people. Those are the ones, and then they have they're starting to not understand family at all. They're great at building funnels and whatever the hell that crap is, but email lists, but they can't take their children out to dinner. It's not funny.
I get it. Over 150, starting to be very difficult to have relationships. 160s, I have seen very few 160 and over who fit in the world. Is that Elon?
Elon is between 155 and 165, according to the stories I've read.
Interesting. Lonely existing, because he's had like six kids with many wives.
And he has no empathy. He has no empathy. He's one of the few people I can think of that has less empathy than I do.
Who's so 170 and above, very, very, very rare in normal world, but I talked to a few. Who the hell is 170? Like, maybe not people you know, but like, is there somebody we all know?
179. She's been divorced twice, no children. She's a pure genius. Really struggles. And then the 173 that I know, he has a human girlfriend. He won't even go out in public with her because he can't pretend to be someone else. Can't do it.
Interesting. So IQ, you've allowed it. You figured out a way to correlate IQ to relational behavior.
Well, but if that's how you interpreted it, great. I just like to see the world in numbers. And then, and it's interesting when there's because I met a 160. I've only met two or three 160 and above that have a family. And I met one the other day and I was really surprised. So he has two children, but he's been divorced twice. And he's tested 160 in second grade. I go, oh, that sounds like a really terrible life. And he's like, yeah, it's been very difficult. I go, well, yeah, because you're so smart that, because like when you get in the 160, that's like 1 out of 2 million people. Where I'm at and my wife are at and where I think you're at, it's like 1 out of 105. So they're around. But when you're in the 160s, that is like, that's an island among an island among an island. There was one guy I talked to who was over 170. He was in Arkansas. He's in Arkansas, and he has no money, no money. He doesn't even care about money, which is interesting. And then he's working for his uncle, like fixing windows at his uncle's shop. I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, I just want to partner with Elon and create stuff, but I'm in my uncle's factory or whatever working on windows. But like, they're so beyond and then I talk to these people and see them present things all the time. So they're really smart, which is great, but they don't have the genius heart. So like I was talking to a good friend of mine, Sarah Harkness. She's a nine quick start. Pure visionary. She's had like 26 surgeries, should be dead, but she's not. She has some young kids. Yeah, that's a visionary. So like she's an all four. And then she's like, the key is finding the genius brain and combining that with the genius heart. Because like there's a lot of genius brains. They build the funnels, they're great marketers, but they don't have a genius heart. And then you have the genius heart, the kumbaya, the hippie, whatever, they're playing guitar on the street corner, but they don't have a genius brain. So they don't, it's fine to play the guitar on the street corner or peace and love or whatever. But if you can't really do anything at scale with that, then what's the point? But to me, and then if you combine the genius brain with the genius heart, that's when you get something really, really special. And I think the IQ that I have a really good score because it's not too high where you become a cyborg, but it's also not too low. So like it's like a bridge. And then I married the nicest person on the planet who taught me how to say thank you and then have learned empathy. My partner for second company, he's an empath. So I've learned that from him. So it's creating the genius brain with the genius heart.
Something very liberating about listening to you, because I have no aspiration to Elon. That's not my.
Me neither. My goal, I don't want to be right? like that. Hell no. That sounds like a horrible life. Ugh.
But I do compare. I do compare to people that I feel like, oh man, I could be where they are, whatever that means. Mm. And this is almost like, why not assess for you who you are based, like you said, follow the numbers. So like, if I'm listening to you, tell me if I'm wrong on this. You work with somebody visionaries, which you would define as high on the quick start, like seven, eight, nine or ten.
I'll answer that before you continue. With the PR firm, in 6.5 years, zero business background, our firm has partnered with two people that I know of under a seven quick start. Only two. And then the second company, there are only three members under a seven quick start. Only three.
Okay. So high quick start, exposure or have experience with at least one of the all four, probably three.
Oh, at least three. Yeah, at least three.
Okay. And then IQ 130 to 150?
That's really interesting. I haven't thought about it like that. But again, that's why I like doing these shows, because you learn in real time. The lowest IQ of anyone I've talked to in the last 3 years that they know of is 127. So for a human, that's still pretty. And then the highest IQ is 179. The highest IQ of anyone. The highest IQ of anyone that I know of who's actually hired the PR firm or joined the network, he is. I'd say he's 160. So I would amend what you said to 130 to 160.
When so you get 130 to 160, 7, 8, 9 quick start, and 10, 3 of 4.
A 10 quick start, a 10, yeah.
7, 8, 9, 10 quick start, yep. And 3 of 4, that's your Century Club starting out. I mean, the person has to have, I'm sure, other attributes, but like that's probably going to be the essence or the metric representation of your Century Club. Is that fair?
Not only is it fair, it's accurate. It's really interesting how your brain strategically can listen and then decode it. But again, that's high IQ pattern recognition. So you
put I'm a genius.
It's like people are like, they're confused by it, but I'm like, a human could not do that. They're not going to be able to do that. So, and nor would they even want to do what you just did.
Sure.
They're not going to want to do that, but that's fine.
What's funny though, is like, I don't do anything with it. Does that make sense? Like, it's interesting.
No, that makes absolutely no sense to me why you wouldn't do something with that.
No. I mean, like, I don't feel like anything happened. Like, what I do is I take it and I put it out into the world and everybody hears it and listens and all that stuff.
You did do something with it.
Fair enough. So I lied. But my point is like, it's, you would think, because I do, I hear these patterns and dissect them in a different way than you do. But you would think I would be able to sort of like what you did. I mean, to be able to identify, like, you know what? Because I got to believe for the Century Club, for anything you're doing with the Epic Network, that the Colby, the Strength Finders are like entry level requirements of people before they join, correct? You're having them do this.
Well,
I'd be shocked if you said no.
Well, the answer is yes, but like a visionary would never say no to doing something like that. They would just do it.
No, right. But I would guess you would say like, hey, do you have a strength finder? Do you have a Colby? No, I don't have it. Okay, great. Just do those and we're all set. Like,
the
only
thing I write down before I meet someone is their name and their Colby score.
No shit.
I know when someone's a visionary. Yeah, and I don't know. My brain can photographically remember someone's Colby. I don't really know why.
I see that.
Well, yeah. So, and I see the world as numbers, but like, I know when someone's not a visionary, when they ask, what does the Colby cost or is there a free version? I'm like, well, you just, but again, the overwhelming majority of visionaries are at least a 7 quick start. Most are 8, 9, or 10. And then again, to really deep dive it, a 10 quick start is 1 out of 200 humans in human world, 1 out of 200. In my world, it's like 1 out of 8. So you might go a whole, you know, Dan Sullivan's a 10 quick start. So you might go, you know, your whole life without even understanding what a 10 quick start is. You're like, oh, wow, that guy or woman's just all over the place, but they're just a 10 quick start. And then most people I talk to are 9 quick starts. That, like, the average score of someone I talk to is a 3.393. That's pure ADD. In human world, that's really rare. In my world, that's the average score.
You know, it's funny. You're making me think of this when you said about they'd ask you what the cost of the Colby was. I have a confession. I tried to take Strength Finders before it came on. So I go on Gallup, I order it. It's like $65 or something like that. And then it didn't like send it to me. So I went in, it sent me to another page to order it again. And I ordered it again. I was like, fuck it. What's $60? The same thing happened to me on a flight on Air Canada. I bought Wi-Fi like 3 times for $12 because it wouldn't process. I was like,
man, you went for it. You went, but you'd be amazed, or maybe not. Most people would never do that.
Well, they would say I'm being irresponsible, and I don't disagree in some ways, but at the same time, I look at it like it's $36 or it's $120. Like, the value of my time figuring it out is greater than the spend.
It's a good investment. So again, we only partner with visionaries who live in abundance, who look at things as investments, not costs. So everything to me is an investment. For whatever you want to call it, the first network, again, bigger investment, smaller room, bigger impact. So the first investment was never a cost, but first group, it was like $250 a year. Then there was a $500 a year. Then there was $1,000. Then there was $2,000. Then there was a $5,000. Then there was a $10,000. And then now I invest well over 100K a year, and then created own version of that only for visionaries, because visionaries don't want to talk to business owners. They don't want to deal with that. It's limiting. So and then again, when you see the formula and the pattern, you just keep writing bigger checks. And regardless of what the investment is, because you know it's a good investment, you see in the pattern. And then investment is certainly not just a dollar amount. It's you. If you make an investment, you invest your time in it too.
Yeah.
You put the time in it. That's where you really learn and find the right people, and then again disqualify the wrong people. They disqualify themselves.
I love it. Wow. Yeah. Very interesting. I love this like buy box that you have of people that you like to be around and hang out with.
One of the chapters of Epic Life is Be the Buyer, which is from Dan Sullivan. So there's nothing outbound. Nothing to sell. People just, the visionaries love, they want to be a part of this. That's why it's scaling so fast, because they don't want to hang out with business. They don't want to, and then they don't want to hang out with the genius brains that don't have the genius heart. They don't want to be around funnel people building this stuff and then they torch their family. They don't want to be around that. They don't want that.
Can you quantify real quick? Maybe I missed it. It just didn't land for me, but genius heart. Can you get a little bit deeper on what makes up the genius heart? How do you identify it?
Thanks for asking that. My wife taught me how to say thank you, so I'm giving her a shout out on that one. So where I see the genius heart is in empathy. And which is ironic considering I'm dead last in empathy on StrengthFinders, but for visionaries, I have endless empathy, endless. I understand visionaries most of the time better than they understand themselves. And a business owner, again, cares about revenue, office space, a funnel person, funnel, scale. I don't know that stuff's annoying. It's just ridiculous. It's funnel, bother someone, funnel. Okay. And then the visionary, the one with the genius heart, they care about true connectivity, relationships, spending time with loved ones or caring friends. I don't know, whatever the word you want to use it. And they're the world thinking, the. A business owner is their world linear funnel thinking. A visionary is exponential world, the world thinking. That's where the heart comes in. I guess I'll use myself as an example if it's helpful. Like, you know, my son Chase, like he provided the great day, create more living things, do what you like to do, what you're good at. So like mission, I've accomplished my life, meaning I'm accomplishing what I'm supposed to be doing. And then I look at myself as a bridge between my dad, who was a war hero and never made an excuse ever. No excuses. A bridge between him and my children and their children and their children and their children and their children. That's how I look at my life. And I know my children will help humanity far more than I will, because they have my wife's harmony, love, kindness.
You know what's interesting though on this?
Whatever that is.
You haven't given a number to quantify this. Genius heart. Is there one? You mentioned empathy. Is there a certain minimum score on empathy?
I'm going to think about that.
Sure.
I have not seen an assessment that measures quantifiable empathy. Where I have seen some... Oh, actually, let me take that. Okay. So iamdriven.com. I'm assuming you know Dr. Doug Brackman. Are you heard of
him? I do know that name. I don't know why I know that name, but yeah,
well,
I've heard that.
Okay.
Before.
So he's an 8 quick start, very little follow through. He wrote the book Driven.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Right. Okay. You would love him. So pure ADD. And he was living in his car as a teenager, and his IQ is off the charts. And then he was doing like high school math in third grade or something like that. Okay. So anyway, very, very difficult life. So he created an assessment at iamdriven.com. I'm not affiliated with this all, but I'm trying to answer your question. Iamdriven.com takes 5 minutes. It's free. Woohoo! And it measures intuition. It measures intuition. And my intuition is like off the charts. It's like, and then most drivens, most ADDs, I'm not, but most visionaries, they're constantly bored because they're next shiny object, next shiny object, next shiny object. I'm less bored than an average human because I never leave my zone of genius, which again, to challenge what you said before, there's no limits when you're never bored. There's no limits to that. Like when you're constantly in your zone of genius, there's no limits to that. But that's a good one to measure. I would say EQ, emotional quotient, intuition, and I'm a full 10 out of 10 on that. So that's a good one if you're looking to measure that.
Is it representative of the genius heart?
I do think so. Yeah.
So that's the measure. Cause it's almost interesting to hear you're the numbers guy, but it's like, you're struggling to quantify numerically the genius heart. Like, is that the one where it's like, this is a good measure to kind of get you in the room, but it's hard to.
Well, there are no weaknesses. I don't look at weaknesses as weaknesses. What I look at them is an opportunity to find a collaborative strength. So I'm 31 out of 34 in harmony. My wife is number one out of 34 in harmony. So collaborative harmony. I'm dead last in empathy, 34 out of 34. My partner for second company, he does 8 and 9 figure deals all day. He's third in empathy for a visionary. That's like, so having the genius heart or the genius brain, for me, it allows me to understand that the weaknesses are an opportunity to find a collaborative strength. And that's where my heart has been developed. And again, my wife taught me how to say thank you. I didn't even know that, like, I don't even think about it. So the first thing I do every day is a grateful journal to her, what I'm grateful for to her. And then 5 days a week, I'll include this in that. I do a grateful journal on LinkedIn. So if you're constantly grateful, it's hard to be ungrateful. And then gratitude attracts gratitude and repels arrogance. That's what I've seen. But I guess it still doesn't answer your quantifiable question. I just had to really learn it. But maybe the heart doesn't look at things as numbers. Maybe not.
That's it. That's literally what I was going to say. Like, I think what you're saying is the heart doesn't allow for quantitative. It's all qualitative. And that makes sense. By the way, Gay Hendricks needs to write the foreword for your next book. You beautifully described his own genius. Beautifully described it.
So, oh, yeah. So Gay's with Mike Koenigs all the time. I don't know Gay's Colby, but Mike is a 9 quick start, 2 or 3 foul. He's a 3.295.
I'm a fan of his. I like him. I tried.
Koenigs is a great guy. Oh, you want me to introduce you to him?
Oh, sure. Look at that happening. Connector.
Here, wait. Well, just
Well, look, I'm emailing you after with my Colby, my IQ, and my strength finder.
Yeah, but Koenigs has zero follow through, so I'll have to text you to him. So just text me or send me your cell phone.
I will. I'll do that. Real quick, I want to, before we wrap this up, I want to talk a little bit more about Family First. I'm forgetting. Oh, there's so much is going through my head. How to build collaborative global companies while putting your loved ones first. Putting your loved ones first. So you talked about no excuses, and I love that. I think it starts with that. Like, 100%. But what about?
No excuse.
No excuses.
I don't want to hear it.
So beyond declaring it, okay, from here forward, family first. Beyond declaring it, what is the biggest obstacle you've seen entrepreneurs who declare
themselves.
It and look to execute it?
Themselves.
But what do you mean? Get deeper on that.
They're
themselves.
The problem. They're their own problem.
Addiction? Workaholics.
So I was talking to Gino about that. So I was talking about the four things, and he said the fifth one, I think this will be in his book, is the fifth thing entrepreneurs are, they're addicts. So, and then to answer your question, so there's really bad addictions, cheating on your spouse, alcohol, drugs, workaholism. And then there's good addictions, spending time with loved ones and connecting visionaries to serve humanity. No limits to that. I will challenge that again. There are no limits to that.
Yeah.
That's where the genius heart comes in. So no, I don't, you know, no limits with that. And then the wrong addiction, the wrong pattern. So that's why, again, that's why I wrote the book. Here's the wrong pattern. But again, if someone doesn't take responsibility for their own actions first, then they're not, a visionary would never blame anyone else but themselves. They would never do that.
All right, then let me ask this question. How do you, for you, define enough?
No, I don't even think about that.
Really?
No.
Why not?
Because I don't.
Is there an aversion to it for any specific reason, or is it just it never occurred to you? The key to life, it isn't money. It's happiness. And when you measure how happy you are, you actually become even more happy. Our friends at GoBundance, the tribe of millionaires, use a very specific tool to measure their happiness. It's called the Life Happiness Index. And you can have it too. Go over to GoBundance.com/LHI and take your Life Happiness Index assessment. You'll rate yourself in multiple categories on exactly how happy you are and get a custom output for you specifically that you can use in developing whatever goals you have for your life. GoBundance is the tribe of healthy, wealthy, generous people who choose to live epic lives. And the tool GoBundance members use at the base of all of that is the Life Happiness Index. Get out there and grab life big.
I spend time with my family as much as I want to and grow a network on a global level. That's it. That's
simple as that.
Yeah, I mean, so like what I see, I guess what you're, I think maybe what you're saying is like the ones that measure all this other stuff, that's where they fall into a trap because they're winning the wrong game.
That's, you know what? That's a good way of reframing where my question was going. Where I was asking, it was like, I can hear like the entrepreneur or the person who's maybe like trying to get out of the job and become the entrepreneur to have time with their family. I can hear them saying like, yeah, but I got to get to a certain level before I can reprioritize that.
Wrong answer.
Right. I love the point that you made about reframing addiction. You can become addicted to spending time with your family, right?
Why wouldn't you want to be addicted to that?
That's a great point. That's great. Well, you're a 160 plus. That's why.
I'm not.
No, not you.
Fair enough. Yeah. That, you know what? I would agree with you on that.
Wow. Well, we'll end it with numbers. Justin, where can people learn more about you? Sounds like LinkedIn, you're pretty active, books, all that good stuff. Tell me where we can learn more.
Just send out a Morse code of numbers. No, I'm kidding. Actually, those were letters, right? Whatever they are. The brepicnetwork.org is the main. Brepicnetwork.org. That's the best.
Brepic, BREPIC network.org. Yeah, Justin, man, this was fun. Thank you so much for diving deep with me.
I really appreciate it. Can't wait to see your Colby.